comes also from the book of Revelation, the fifth chapter. John says these words. He says, "Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll, and written on the inside and on the back, it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, saying, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and look into it. And I began to weep bitterly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'This, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing, as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a lamp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. For they sing a new song. They sing, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and they numbered myriads and myriads and thousands, singing with full voice, saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb that is slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Here ends the reading. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, today is the holiday known as Christ the King Sunday, which first started in 1925 by order of Pope Pius XI. Here we have a picture of him. His coat kind of looks like Santa Claus, right? Kind of gets us in the Christmas spirit. But this is Pius XI. He led the Catholic Church from 1922 to 1939. Side note, if you give a kid a name like Pius, what do you think he's going to grow up to be? But Pope Pius started this holiday, this holy day we call Christ the King Sunday, because he looked at the world around him in 1925, and he did not like what he saw. He saw people who were pledging their allegiance to dictators instead of to Christ, people who were drawing lines in the sand, saying, "We have nothing in common because you come from across that line, or you come from that other country, or you come from that other race, and I want nothing to do with you." 1925 was, after all, a great year for the history books. It's the year Mein Kampf was published. It's the year Benito Mussolini dissolved the Italian parliament and became a dictator. And not to be outdone, here in the good old U.S. of A., 1925 was also the year of the first national march of the KKK, with some 50,000 people in white robes coming to the National Mall. It seems that in our broken humanity, we have that tendency. We have that tendency to look at the things that separate us and to dig in our heels and stay apart. And it was the same thing in Jesus' day. The big debate after Jesus died was whether only Jews could be close to God, you know, because they were people of the covenant God made. So could only Jews be close to God, or could Greeks, Gentiles, non-Jews have that same closeness with God? Like, which tribe gets in? Which tribe gets saved? And it's against that backdrop that we find our scripture passage today from Revelation. Now, Revelation is a strange book of the Bible. It details all these visions from John, who was a follower of Jesus, and because he was a follower of Jesus, ended up banished to an island. But one day when John was worshiping and was caught up in the Spirit, he had all these visions, and he heard God tell him to write a book about it. Now, some say his visions might be glimpses of the future, of when heaven comes to earth, but others say they're actually symbols. They were like a secret way for Christians to send messages to each other without getting into trouble. Now, it's hard to know what to make of this book, which of those theories. And for the past several months, our Wednesday morning Bible study has been studying Revelation. Just out of curiosity, by show of hands, who of you attends the Wednesday morning Bible study? Okay. Okay, great. It's not too late to join them Wednesdays at 9:30, because you got to figure, these are the people who won't be left behind when Jesus comes. So John's worshiping, and he sees this vision. And in this vision, he sees a scroll, but he can't find anyone worthy to break open the seals and read the scroll. So he starts to cry, and he weeps bitterly. But someone tries to reassure him. "Do not weep," says one of the elders. "See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seals." It's a word of reassurance saying that Jesus, as the Lion of Judah, has come and conquered. The Lion of Judah has vanquished and triumphed. The Lion of Judah will ride in and save the day. But that's not what happens. That is not who breaks the seal. That is not who opens the scroll. Instead, what does John see next? "Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne." When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered. And by your blood, you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom." John thought he would see Jesus as a lion who would be able to break open the scroll, but instead he saw Jesus as a lamb. It was a lamb who could break open the scroll, and not just any lamb, a slaughtered lamb. So not the superhero God, not the conquering Christ, not the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but a lamb. Just like all the lambs that used to be slaughtered for God in those ancient religious rituals, all those lambs that would be offered up to make things right again. Of all things, that's who could break open the seals and read the scroll. But yeah, instead of a lion, we get a lamb who doesn't come in like a conquering superhero, but comes in with all gentleness to take away all that divides us, to make us into a kingdom. We don't get a lion from that special tribe to tell us which tribe gets in or which tribe gets saved. We get a lamb. And by his blood, he ransomed for God saints from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And for that, all the saints sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. All praise to the Lamb. All praise to Christ the King, who made us to be a kingdom. The Lamb was offered up to make things right again, to make us right with each other. And that is what we celebrate on a holy day like today. There's a holy site in New Mexico named after Christ the King. It's called Mount Cristo Rey, which means the Mount of Christ the King. And at the top of a hill stands a limestone statue of Christ the King. He's mounted on a cross, and down at his feet is his crown. Now, as you wind your way up to the statue, you pass through the Stations of the Cross, those images of Jesus suffering on the last day of his life. And it can take more than 2 hours to reach the summit. Some Christians go up barefoot, and others will go up carrying heavy crosses. And as you go up to Christ the King, you hear Spanish and English both, because this holy site is actually the site of two nations, three states. It's the intersection of three cities: El Paso, Texas; Sunland Park, New Mexico; and Juarez, Mexico. And this is a rare stretch of the desert where people come together over something bigger than tribes, bigger than borders. Nothing separates them on this holy walk to Christ. You are worthy, say the saints. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom. The statue of Christ the King was built in the 1930s, during that same turbulent time, that time of Hitler and Mussolini and the KKK, because something had to change. Somehow we had to remember that Christ came to break down the walls between us, to make us into a new kingdom. The statue took 2 years to finish. The sculptor worked 8 to 10 hours a day for those years, toiling away in the desert heat, dodging lightning strikes and windstorms, working till his fingers were numb. When someone asked him how he would carve the face of Jesus, he answered, "The face must be peaceful. It must look down on El Paso with a peaceful expression. In a world of war and hate, it must radiate peace." And so every year, Christians in the Southwest make pilgrimage to Christ the King. Spanish and English, Mexican and American, Catholic and Protestant, every tribe and language and people and nation come to see Christ the King, to look upon a face that radiates peace. Only with the Lamb of God can we hope to have such peace. Only by the blood of the Lamb can we be made one blood, one family. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. What good news that Christ loved us too much to let us stay apart, Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. What good news that we are not bound by what separates us. We are bound by the love of Christ who makes us one. You know, this is why 4 dozen people from this church are in something called a life group, where once a month they get together to share a meal and sit around a table talking about God. Because these life groups aren't groups of people where everyone's the same age or has the same background. These life groups aren't groups of people where everyone thinks the same way or votes the same way, which normally would make me pretty nervous. I'm not sure I want to sit around the table with someone so different from me. But then the words of Revelation come back again. As God says, I have made you to be a kingdom. And in this kingdom, conservative and liberal break bread together and don't leave the table when they disagree. They sit there and talk. In this kingdom, people who think differently pray for each other and show up for each other and slowly learn to love each other. He has made us to be a kingdom. And this is why tomorrow, some of you are going to spend the night with homeless moms and their kids at the Family Promise House in Aberdeen. Rich and poor, and young and old, and black and white are going to come together and sleep under the same roof. Why? Because he has made us to be a kingdom. This is what the kingdom looks like. We refuse to live apart from each other. We laugh at anything that tries to separate us. We worship Christ the King, who breaks down walls and makes us one. Worthy is the Lamb. He has made us to be a kingdom. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you for being a lamb, for being gentle and humble, for being so full of love that you would unite all people, every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, all would come under your arms of mercy. Lord, on this day, we say yes to you, yes to being part of this kingdom of yours that has no end. And will you help us live out your love, the love of a lamb? It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.